questions or comments?
I guess, like we were talking about earlier, that, you know, we can get really distracted, lost on even what we think is good, spiritually, whatever. But that the Lord is faithful to always direct our hearts. You know, and it directs so much that that, how can I say, like, it directs us so much in a place of like, man, like, that's, and so simple. You know, he brings us back almost like to something. It's like, it's just this.
It's just Jesus.
It's just this. You know, it makes us feel like, man, like, of course. And then for some reason, I just feel this in my heart to say it, the idea of changing or being better or not doing this anymore, doing more of this, it kind of, like I said, I just feel that in my heart to say, like, that's so out of the picture. Because that's still here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost like, I don't want to change anymore. Even though there's a good part of it, you know, the change and the external, and, you know, we're saying, like, you know, forgiving someone. You know, all that stuff. You know, everything that comes along with the change. But when the Spirit directs our heart back to what our condition is, the reality of it, what's true, everything else falls so short.
Mm-hmm.
Even the good part of, you know, it's just Him. And when it's just Him, that's it. Like, that's, you know, I feel like I'm not making any sense, but it's just like, nothing matters.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. Like, that's not the point. But that He's faithful enough to just direct us. Like, no, this is it. Direct your hearts on where you're, you know, to go on that verse in Colossians. Like, when your life appears,
yeah,
then you will appear in His glory, in that glory. But, you know, that God has mercy on us to always just bring us back to His Son. And, you know, thank God that He does that. You know,
yeah.
Thank God that he loves us so much to allow us in a way to, I don't know if that's the right way to say, allow us astray, allow us to kind of, because it's like, we know in the end, so we're just gonna, like you were saying, we never left anywhere. We can stray so far and say, I'm done with this, I want, you know, this is too much, or I want to, you know, whatever it is, I don't want to believe, or, but it's like, and you love, it's like, that's not going to change anything. I'm still in you, you're still in me. And the only thing I want is for you to just direct your heart back to your reality,
mm-hmm.
your state, your condition, where you are,
mm-hmm.
and nothing else matters.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters. And that, I think, you know, that, in a way, to, for that to be the goal, in a way, to just where it's just like always directing our heart back. Repent.
Mm-hmm.
That
true repentance.
Of always just turning our affection and our back to that reality. It's just Him. As simple as that is,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of like, well, yeah, I know that, of course, but it's like, no, like, that's it.
Yeah, it really is.
Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
We make it so complicated. We make it so, without even knowing, we make it about this. But, you know, He loves us so much. He always takes us back. He's the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, you know, He's the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He's always gonna, you know, with the staff and kind of tap us a little bit, like, no, like, it's this.
Doesn't He break sheep's legs sometimes? Like, when they wander, they'll break their legs. So
awake him. He has to carry sheep.
You know, even with that kind of, even with that kind of brings us to that.
Yeah.
It's just him. No, that's just what I.
You mentioned change, and I do want to touch on that. You mentioned change, and there's with God. Remember, there's always one God, one Son, one Spirit, one baptism, one church, one Father of all. It's always one. There's one change also. The moment of new birth, the eternal change comes to our soul at the moment of new birth. That change is very simply, not I, but Christ. That is the eternal change. From that moment onward, we are to be knowing that change. So, as I mentioned with like the water pots, once that change comes, it's a done deal. It has happened. Whether we walk in the reality of that or not, doesn't matter. The change has come in the person of Christ. The thing is, when we see the face of that change, the face of Christ himself, then we begin to walk accordingly. Jacob, wrestling with the angel, addresses us in our ignorance. Who are you? What is your name? Confess everything about you that you know. Well, I'm Jacob. This is what I do. Did you hear what I said? Confess everything about you that you know. Well, I'm Jacob, and I do this, and I do that. Oh, okay. Well, now let me confess everything about you that I know. The true change that already has taken place because of birth. You were not born outside of purpose, but you were born in the very purpose for which your soul was created. And so the Lord declares, not Jacob, but Israel. Israel, who is prince with God. There's only one prince of God, and that's Christ himself. That's the eternal change. From that moment onward, yes, our walk is altered. You said to kind of break a sheep leg every once in a while? No, our walk is altered. We no longer rely upon our own strength, our own ability, but we have to rely upon the strength and the ability of the source, another. Christ himself, who's represented in the staff upon which he had to lean to be able to walk. His walk was altered. It wasn't changed. He began walking in the change.
He needed the staff.
Yes. To be able to move, live, and have his being in purpose. Well, to serve that purpose. But I'm glad you mentioned that change, because a lot of times, and I believed this for so long, a lot of times I thought, well, I know I'm born again, but something has to change with me. And that's still the mind of Jacob. You know, I can't change myself. No, we know you can't change your ignorance, Jacob. You know, we can't pray your ignorance out of you. No, we can't. You can't change your ignorance. The change has already come. But you begin walking in that when you see the change, or the face of the change, the face of the truth, the face of the light, the face of the knowledge of God, the face of reality in the face of Jesus Christ. Then you walk according to the truth. It's already happened. But thank you for mentioning that. That's very important. Someone needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that.
Oh, and like what we were saying last time too, but not seeing that as a means.
Yeah.
We could, someone can hear you, okay, that's it. But it's just like, but don't see that that's not the purpose either.
Mm-hmm.
It still falls short.
Mm-hmm.
And, always letting it be the Lord.
And that's what we were talking about earlier, and like now that you mentioned it again, It's like all this other stuff, like, I want to be more loving, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I don't want to think this way, or I don't want to have these thoughts, or I don't want to have these actions. You know, none of that matters. When it does matter, then we are seeking the Lord for Him to change something that He's already changed. I mean, that doesn't even make sense if you think about it. It's like, Lord, fix this. And the Lord's like, I did fix that in the cross. Lord, change this. I brought about the change at new birth. You just have your eyes on the wrong object. You have your eyes on what, on something that is not life, and you're calling life. My eyes are upon life. Always. And so, like what you were saying, what ends up happening when we start considering the things like, I want to be more loving. I want to be fruitful. I want to see fruit in this ministry. Or I want to serve the Lord. Or just whatever. Then in effect, when that's in view, we're seeking the Lord as the Lord Himself, like you said it, as a means to our end. But see, our end is what I call automatics. That's automatic. Everything that is of God, I'll use the example of the scriptures. Are the scriptures of God? Please say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. The scriptures are of God. There's some people that still are in doubt. Of course, they're unbelievers. Eventually, the Lord will deal with their ignorance as well. But the scriptures are of God. They're designed of God. They're purposed of God for one thing. Direct the heart unto Christ. That's it. Man gets a hold of them, puts some other object in view, some other purpose in view. God does not. God does not. That is the purpose and intent of the scriptures. So, the scriptures are the means to the end, who is the person of Christ Himself. If the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, it is the means to direct our heart unto the person of Christ Himself. Time and time and time again. So, are the scriptures so we can learn how to be prosperous?
No.
Actually, yes. Because the prosperity is the object who Christ Himself is. Unfortunately, man redefines the object in his own face, not in the face of Jesus Christ.
We were talking about yesterday that if prosperity is money, and then why is it that, I mean, it should be, if God is not a liar, we are saved, and it should take us a couple of months to be millionaires. It should take us a couple of months.
Yeah, if prosperity is money, yes.
If prosperity is money, because well, I mean, God wants to prosper us, and if He's not a liar, He will. See, but I don't see that in churches. I don't see that to be true. Where, man, you know what? Because God, now He can't do that, but He knows that, and then we'll go in just for the money. Obviously, that's what man would do. You know, if that was just, but we ourselves, we make, you know, we say stuff like that. Or, you know, people say stuff like that. But why isn't it not true then? Why isn't it, you know, you're true, nothing but millionaires everywhere. Like, you know, I still, you know, why if that was the case? The thing is that what we call prosperity, you know,
that's man's knowledge.
That's,
yeah.
And it's, you know, and then, so now we can't contradict ourselves, because then, was God a liar? And then we say, well, God is not a liar. It looks like he is. Because if you're telling me that, you know, God's going to promise prosper me, that's what he wants for me. I mean, why am I not prosperous?
Because you're so prosperous.
You know, why am I not, you know? So, I mean, either you're lying or God's a liar. Which one is it here? You know, so, you know, it's obviously that God's not talking about that. You know, I mean, the complete, the everything, it is Jesus. He is our everything. I mean, okay, I mean, think about it. Jesus, our everything in everything, you know, $1 trillion, which one is more? Well, I mean, you know, he can put that $1 trillion inside of Jesus and still, hey man, I'm still more than that. Okay, you know, bring all the money that you want. I'm still more than that if you want to compare me with money. Because I'm everything and everything. You know, so, I mean, that's gotta be, you know, but why is it that our mind goes so low? You know, why is it that our mind is like, well, we want so much less.
Yeah.
You know, than the more that we already have. You know, it's not what we're trying to get. We already have, and it's done, and it's complete. You know, it's done. It's just that, you know, how many times do we confess that I already got everything? It's done. You know, I'm having it's a great day. It's a great week. It's a good day. It's a great week because I already got everything. You know, it's done. Complete. I'm not missing anything. But then our eyes falls to, you know, to the earth, and I'm missing so much stuff, you know, and
help.
You know, but in reality is, you know, I mean, why don't we just believe, like we believe for, you know, that we see him, and then, you know, a week will pass and you'll see life. You'll go back and say, man, a week passed. And, you know, he provided. You know, but a week passed and a month passed and a year will pass. You know, you'll look back and say, man, it's done. You know, it's everything is good. Everything is good. Instead of just, you know, because a year is going to pass regardless. You know, whether we walk in that truth or not, gonna pass. Why not enjoy that wine? You know, why not enjoy the wine? You know, the people enjoy the wine. Afterwards, it was a party. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, this is the good wine. This party. You know? Why not walk in that? Why not just walk in that and enjoy the wine that is already done? That's already complete. You know, regardless of whatever we see. Don't get drunk. You know, bring the beers right now. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in terms of...
Well, since we mentioned the party.
Here, this is a Christian sharing here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, why... You know, why just right now we are... We are talking about and believing. Why? Why? Why not later? Why not tomorrow? Why not? Why? You know, what's going to change? Time? Time's going to pass. You know, we're going to die. You know?
That's the security of it, is that nothing does change. Just like with the thing with Jacob. Wherever your ignorant little mind takes you, I'm there. I will keep you. You know. And it's the Lord, and I will bring you back. The Lord, yes, the Good Shepherd, the one who continually brings us back to this reality. Something that we couldn't do. Something that we couldn't achieve. And yet he encourages us unto this, you know. Because what happens in the encouragement, the declaring of reality, the declaring of the testimony, there's like birthed in our hearts this expectation for, I want to taste, I want to see, I want to enjoy I want to partake. I want to eat. I don't want to just chew and spit it out. I want to actually partake, you know, get it, like be partaking. We've been made partakers, but who's partaking? You know, I actually want, and that's what the testimony does. It does. When we encourage one another, declaring the truth, speak the truth to one another daily, as still, because it is still called day. You know, we speak the truth one to another while it is still day. We declare the truth, the reality to one another while it's still day, because it births in that, in our heart, that expectation to be actually walking in it. But it's not walking in it down here. It's walking in the land of the living, regardless of what happens here. Because like Tony said, things change down here. Things come, things go. Jesus remains the same. Remains the same. Yeah. More and more till we cry out, I must, at whatever cost, I must know, I must see this one. I must bust a move. And of course we find out that we can't bust a move. There's no man here, Lord. Jesus shows up, the guy, sorry, I'm thinking of this verse. The guy at the little, what was it, Bethesda, the pool where the angel came and stirred the water, and he's lame, and hey, it's all there. I just got to get in there, but I can't do it. No man can do it for me. Jesus is right there. Hey, what's up? Well, see, you know, there's this angel, tells the whole story. There's this angel, you know, and stirs the water. Whoever gets in there first, well, he'll be healed of whatever sickness. But I can't make it. I'm totally lame. And everybody around me is not helping me. They're totally lame as well. He says, I have no man. There is no man. There is no man to do what is needed in my situation. He said, yeah. And yet Almighty God is right there speaking to him. Take up your bed and walk. Because he's able.
You know, I was saying them last week. Was it last week we were talking?
Mm-hmm. The week before.
He could have said, I'm your man. Let me take you to what you want.
Oh, good. You know? Yeah.
He could have. Why not? Look, you looking for a man? I'm the man. I can take you to your solution that you always wanted. But he didn't even go that way. He didn't.
No. Mm-hmm.
Just gotta go this way.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. He's like, he didn't do it in the way that he thought it needed to be done.
Yes.
No, this is the only way. And it's holy too. The angels.
It was come, a good thing.
Yeah. The angels come.
Everybody did it that way. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
But he just. Yeah, again, how, all he said was, just get up. And like, we get so distracted, but it's so simple.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
He was lame on the ground.
Rise. Yeah. That's a good search. If you guys search the scriptures, like by word search or a Strong's number search, that word up, above, it's a phenomenal search. Phenomenal search.
I feel like sometimes that's just a hard concept to grasp, the whole idea of this.
Above. Well,
I feel like it divides reality. Because what you mentioned earlier about Mary looking for Jesus, not even here. You know, he's seated at the right hand, you know. And I think up, it's kind of almost dividing reality. But, and again, it pairs with, well, man sees what's in front of him. You know, not so much people, but we see everything. I think you said this, you know what you see. You know, so of course this is our knowledge, this is man's knowledge of That's all we're capable of knowing. This is our only way of knowledge is because we see it, you know. But that's not his. My ways are not your ways, you know. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And it's ridiculous to want to see Jesus in this reality. Want to find him here down below.
In an old creation.
Like you said, in the land of the dead, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a separation. There is a contrast.
There's a divide.
Can't find him here.
It's almost like you have to keep telling yourself that, like, you're not gonna find him.
Like
death.
What I see death all around me. I can't ask for Jesus to come and change this knowledge because this land is already cursed. Like this is
yes.
This has already been set. The same way this seed of the land, I don't know if that's a thing, but it only produces death. Like that tree that dies, that's its only purpose. We can't mix Christ into this knowledge of what I'm seeing. Not here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find him.
Yeah.
You know, I think eventually you come to the point where you're just like, you're like going here and here and here and wandering almost because you're trying to find him here and he's not even here. To where you're like, I give up. You know, and sometimes that brings unbelief and doubt, but it always brings you to that end. Can't find him here, knowledge.
I'm trying to remember a scripture where it talks about the inheritance as a child. You have someone taking care and holding of it until you come of age. Then you are given. I was trying to look for that. It kind of reminded me of that. You know, and then what you were talking about in about how there's a limit. In God, there's a
boundary.
But it's like the light bulb, you know, everyone has that light bulb and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, no wonder I'm tired. No wonder my situation or my surroundings don't change because this is reality I see. And of course it's going to produce that. Of course it's going to produce death. Of course it's going to produce anything apart from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to fix death.
Yes.
I'm trying to dress up. You know how like the day of the dead, Día de los Muertos, where they bring like they like adorn the tombstones and they have like it's the same thing. Like you're trying to dress up something that's dead. I don't know. So we try to make our own Jesus. Like we need to come.
Down here. Like the problem is here.
Because I see him.
He's just over there,
you know,
sitting with the Father. I'm over here suffering.
It's like the disciples in the boat and he's just sleeping. Like, hey, like, don't you see? Like, but that, what the angels tell Mary, like, he's not here. You're looking for him, but he's not here. And that's kind of like, bling, like,
That's like
up. I lift my eyes up, my help, you know, that's where my help comes from.
And then when you see that, and then it's like, and we are seated in him, you know, in these heavenly places. That's where we are. I mean, if we were looking at our life in a third party, you know, it's like, hello, you're not there. Look, look at yourself. You're over there. You know, look, what are you? Crying and all this and, you know, getting affected by all this. Look, I'm looking at you over there. See where you're at, you know.
Like, as much as I believe this reality to be true, I also have to believe heaven, the reality of heaven coming to earth, not necessarily fixing earth, you know, I think the perspective of heaven coming down to earth, you know, that's when that happens.
See,
I guess the reality,
but this is heaven is what, also a tangible, not necessarily tangible, like Paul, but a reality.
Know, I mean, like Paul, I mean, everything that he would go through, and he knew, it's, I mean, he was going through, it's not like, you know, he knew what where he was, you know, whether I die, whether I live, whether I suffer, you know, I mean, for him, it's like, I know where I'm at.
He said, when I have a lot, when I don't have anything,
yeah,
I know how to live.
See, you see, the thing is, and then, not that the problem went away, and not, you know, not that the snake didn't bit him, not that the boat, you know, not that he didn't get beat up, you know, all these, you know, it's just, for him, it, what, I know, you know, I know where I'm at.
He,
even though I walk in this earth, I know where I'm at.
He literally lived, moved, and had his being in Christ, though his natural feet were on a natural earth.
Someone was saying this in the conference. I don't know if it actually meant it like that, but how he says in Romans 8, he's like, I mean, like the sin that I do, or the things that I do, it's not even me. It's the sin. It was like he doesn't even associate himself with this to the point where he's like, that's not even me, even if I did do that. That's just the sin in me that produces. It's like he doesn't associate so much with this anymore.
He doesn't identify
with so mm-hmm. much that he can say, man, even if that's not me. And to
that,
really,
that's not my life.
Yeah, that's not my life. Yes.
The fruit was not the whole.
Yeah, how you said, like, even though that, but that's not my life. Show me who my life is. And, you know, I think it is true. There is a separation. There is that where we have to, you know, take ourselves and set our affections and set our mind on what the reality is.
There's a verse. And it actually always starts that way. And I'm glad you said it exactly that way. There's, I'll share this verse in just a second. Him who wills, him who runs. Okay. But even when Paul says, set your affection on things above, or in view of the fact that you are risen with Christ, set now your affections on things above, where your life is found, where Christ is seated. Even though he says that, it's the same thing that Jesus told the rich young ruler to bring us to the point where I cannot do this. I cannot cause my heart to turn to the Lord, but to seek the ability of the other, El Shaddai. Lord, you can. And see, there's this verse when you were saying that came to my mind. It's in Romans where Paul says this, that basically it is not of him who wills, or of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Because the merciful one is the only one who is all capable to change a state or condition, whether that be a state or condition of reality, or a state and condition of ignorance. There's only one who's able to change that. So even like when you read that, you know, Colossians 3:1, in view of the fact that you are risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, we'll go about to do it. Because that's what we do. That's what Abram does. See, yes, yes. Well, man does it, and regardless, it's like, seed, I'm going to do it. And God's going to help. You know, we go about to do it, and we fail miserably. We do what I call hit the brick wall. And then we're like, tie up our bootstraps, give it another college go, and one more time, boom, after a while, we're like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I can't do it. One of two things happens. We either go away sad like the rich young ruler in all total despair, or we, what the Lord intended, we confess, Lord, I can't do this. I obviously have to find the ability in someone else other than myself, and that other one is you. Like what? Well, somebody said, I think it was Tony that was totally doing it, mentioning it. It was like, but you are able, you are capable, but it's not the way I thought it would be. Because I thought it would be like this. I thought it would have this shape. I thought it would have this form. I thought it would look like this. But it's all together completely different. Because we expect, you know, we expect what the results are going to look like.
Yeah, of course.
Our mind makes a pretty picture.
And it's bad.
And it's still on the same tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
It's just thinking right now, it's crazy how you can come to that end, right? You can come to the end, okay, you know, send your questions, okay, got it. Now let me go and do that. What do I do? Let me read, let me pray, let me fast. Which, of course,
that's good.
Do that.
That's good, that's beneficial.
But again, it's the semi, so this can change. And we hit.
Not on the things below.
Yeah,
and we hit. Okay, I'm going to keep trying. And, we come to that end of where we do say, I can't. I cannot. And we lose hope in ourselves.
Is that why the rich kid went away sad? Because he realized he couldn't?
He realized he couldn't, but he didn't confess what the Lord wanted him to confess. All he did was realize that he couldn't, but he didn't confess that he couldn't in the presence of the one who could. He didn't cry out for mercy. And that's why Peter, you know, later on says, well, if he can't do it, what of us? There's the confession. If he can't, we're all doomed. No one can. I can't. And then that's the response that Jesus was wanting the whole time from the rich young ruler. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So then you're no longer hoping in man's ability, your ability, but you're hoping in El Shaddai, the all-powerful, all-able, all-capable, almighty God. But see, the Spirit of the Lord brings us to that point because we still think that we can do something. I mean, we do. Jacob did and did and did until he came to a place where he could not do. And he was crying out to God because he knew, I'm going to die. My brother's coming, and that's the end of me. It's like, Lord, and you promised this, you've declared this, and it's going to come to nothing except you step in and do something. You know, confessing to the Lord our inability and yet placing hope in the Lord and the only one who can. The hope comes from hoping in our ability and man to actually hoping and trusting in the Lord, which is a tremendous thing, a tremendous transition of the heart that takes place. It's a great transitional time of the heart. Was any of those the verses you were thinking of? I just came up with two. Not even close.
I don't know why. It could be in Hebrews. The scripture where it says that there is an inheritance, but it can't be given to you until you come of age.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it's a definition based off of a certain term.
You've heard of it?
Yeah.
Is it where... Wait, you ate milk when you were a child and now you eat meat? Yeah.
Until you've come to age.
Oh, no, that's the heir, so long as he's a child. He's under tutors and governors. That's Ephesians. I think it's you've got different words. But let me read it. Where is it?
But pretty much everything that you said to me, that's the verse that kept ringing. That's the verse that kept ringing to me because, you know, as we are born again, we are like children. But like you said, the purpose is for our heart to turn and mature, and like Jacob confessed to it and accepted Christ as, you know, Israel. That was the verse that kept.
He went as far as wrestling an angel to do it himself.
But that scripture is what reminded me of what?
Ephesians 1:14.
Ephesians 1?
Who is guaranteed our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise?
No.
Is it referenced again in the New Testament?
Yes. Watch Galatians. It's Galatians.
Is it Galatians?
I think so.
It talks about the promise and.
That's a different Bible.
No, I know. It's
the Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Oh.
With the Johnson.
All right, here's Galatians 4. Wow. Let me read before then. I'll just start in Galatians 3:22, and let me know if this rings a bell. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, the law which is the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is designed of God to direct and bring the heart unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Pay attention to that verse, because if I share tomorrow, that may be one of the verses that I share. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. And goes, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his only Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ Jesus. The condition is changed. But it was a different kind of translation. What translation do you read?
NIV.
NIV? Which one? 1984,
1997, 2011?
Zondervan? Probably the publishing date. Publishing date.
Not the day they gave it to you.
It'll either be 2011 or something before 2011.
Copyright
1973. Okay. Probably like a 1984 edition and 73. Kool-Aid. Any more questions and or comments?
Why does this come to an end?
I just trust in the Lord and His timing. I'm not going to stress on how I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust in the Lord that He's going to do it.
Yeah. That's the best.
And my hope is that the miracle of me seeing the Lord and me being out of you, that's what I'm going after. Because I know that's the only way that I'll know Him if I'm out of the way. You know? That's it. That's no.
And he who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. That's a verse in Peter. I'll let you look it up sometime. It's a good verse. But yeah.
Sweet.
I've got to say this. What Jesus said, what Jesus confessed, is what Abram should have confessed before him and Sarai figured out a way to produce some fruit. You know, because they ran like we do. Man hears the voice of God, runs with it. And if we produce, we produce Ishmael. We don't see it. We don't call it Ishmael, though that's what we name it. But that's what we produce. We call it the promise. We call it the seed of God. God doesn't. And yet, even in that, the Lord so merciful and loving takes the initiative, steps in and presents to Abram that the time has come where he will no longer trust in his power, his ability, but El Shaddai. Because the Lord revealed himself as El Shaddai. And from that moment onward, now you find Abram waiting upon the Lord. And his waiting is with purpose for the Lord to appear. And he does appear. It's called the time of life. And the fruit thereof is Isaac, Christ. And that requires a miracle of God. I had to say that because what you just said, that requires a miracle of God. To not jump the gun, to not take the initiative, that requires a miracle of God. Because we always want to jump the gun. We always want to take the initiative.
But the world tells you, I mean, you just got to take the initiative. Yeah.
You got to run after it. You got to do it.
If not, you're irresponsible, you're lazy, you're, you know.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, the story of Abram turning into Abraham is such a great shadow of our new birth, but waiting on the Lord, you know?
It is waiting upon the Lord.
Great picture of what, of trying to produce, reproduce Ishmael. Right? And thinking, okay, I'm doing God's will. I can produce it. And But where he comes to the end and he waits. Mm-hmm. And then he, when he waits and trusts in the Lord, right? I think the faith, I think Paul talks about his faith, Abraham's faith, you know, how, and he gets Isaac, which is Christ. You know, and it's like, it's a great, it makes me kind of just want to, I don't read too much of the Old Testament, but it's just like a great.
Well, what's cool, what Paul said, and you're dancing all around the verse, what Paul said was that Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Abraham, knowing that there was no power in him to produce seed, knowing that with Sarah, her womb now being dead, there's like no hope. There's no hope here. No hope in man. We can't do this. There's no hope in man. All hope is lost. All hope is gone. This is not happening except the Lord do it. And then all faith, all hope, and all trust in the Lord. And the Lord does.
You can't even get mad at that point of a situation not changing because it's only him who can do it. So why be upset that it's not?
Mm-hmm.
The miracle hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
When you know he's coming.
Yeah. And you trust that he's going to appear.
Yeah, again, how you said this was your promise.
And,
you promised it.
And it's I've got to state this because so many people take it this way, but from me mentioning it, it's not like an arrogant, well, Lord.
Yeah.
No, it's more of like a, Lord, this is what you have declared. You've declared the truth, and I trust in your word. You have declared the truth. You have declared this promise. You have, and you will perform. Because he goes on to say, I will, the Lord himself says this, I will, I will, I will, I will. And there's like a, when the Lord starts speaking like that, it's like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. I mean, if you say it, it's as good as done, even though it's not seen in the natural. And at that point, you come to a place in your walk with the Lord in faith that you don't have to see it in the natural because you already see it with the eye of faith in the person of Christ.
It's in his heart. Like, man sees what is in front of him, but I see the heart. Well, what's in the heart? That's how God sees what's in his heart. So, nothing else.
And what's in his heart is his son. You know, what Paul said is please the Father to reveal his son. You know, and it's like, this is something he wants to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, no, this is his heart. You know,
we want to twist his arm to do it.
But this is what's in his heart. This is something personal. This isn't religion. This isn't doing the will of God or doing something. No, this is his heart. And really going after it in that sort of spirit of it's what do you want? What's in your heart? Like, what are you after?
Yeah.
And him wanting to reveal his son. And the reality of that, and us living, and us, how Paul says, walking and living in that being,
mm-hmm.
finding our life in there, and, letting that be our reality. But again, to have that faith of believing, we always go back to that of I cannot. We always go back to that, always. But almost in a way, can it like let's drive a stake on the ground of like I can't, and I'm that's it. No more trying to be I. You know, it's only you, and I'm holding on to that. It's you, and that's it. And if I move, take me back to that.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. Don't let me get out of that. You know, let that be our prayer. Don't let me get out of that. Let me stay with nothing. Let me stay with that. As crazy as that sounds.
You don't let me take a hold of myself.
Yeah, you just you.
It, try to produce something out of myself.
You get so tired of that. You know, you get so tired of religion, I guess. And it just makes you just want to, like, man, just don't let me get out of that. Just let me stay. You're gonna do it. And that's it.
There's a song in me happening. Not happening.
Yay.
It wants to come out. I still don't know how. But it's my spirit just keeps saying, you know, where else can I go? You know, where Jesus is like, y'all wanna leave, and who is it, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Where else can I go? And that's true. Like, we can find or we can do it ourselves, but it's like, I got nothing. Where else can I go?
Yeah.
And I think that's that's necessary for him to bring us to that place. So, I got nothing.
That's a t-shirt. I got nothing. Yeah. And then put a verse on it.
Tell Lauren, she makes shirts now.
Yeah.
What she does?
That would.
Wait, she makes shirts, so can she make a t-shirt of my face on?
Oh,
remember that song? Remember that song from Microwave? He sang that song, Lonely Day? He sang, no.
You know that song?
Oh, look, this is a song. I love it for you.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
No, you don't know what he's saying.
You know what song comes to mind? The one that Stephanie and Maddie sing. The one that says, we trust him. But it's like, how do you continue to walk still in the land of the dead? We can't time travel between two realities, you know. To still be here. But still have that in view.
And the thing is that our soul isn't found among the dead. Our soul is found in Christ, among the land of the living. It's the knowledge that our hearts submitted unto. That's why I mentioned when I talked about Jacob, where the Lord's saying, wherever you go, I'm with you. Well, for the born-again believer, it's wherever your ignorance takes you, I'm with you. Because, I mean, it's like Jesus, you're in my hand. You can't go in, you're not going far. You know, your ignorance can take you anywhere you want, but in reality, you've not gone anywhere. You're still here in me because I am still here in you. And that's reality. And we can, like the verse from Peter that I quoted after you said that, we can, in hope, wait upon the appearing of the Lord, and walk in hope of His appearing, of God the Father making Him known in the midst of walking on this earth, because our souls are already in the land of the living. We can walk in hope with that expectation of His appearing Because when he appears, then we walk in faith, having seen him. But that's an order. There's first hope, and then there's faith. That is the order. It's a scriptural order. There's first hope, having not seen, and you walk in hope until you see. Faith is having seen, and you walk in the seeing of the Lord. But you're still believing.
And love.
Oh, faith, hope, love. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Faith, hope, love, now abideth these three. I define it this way. Now abideth these three. Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Well, there is that expectation to see the Lord. There is that seeing of the Lord. But greater than the expectation and greater than the seeing is the Lord himself who is expected, the Lord himself who is seen.
Like he's the end.
Yeah.
It's always him at the end.
Yes.
The end of the life. What else is there? What else is there?
And that's what you were saying. Everything else doesn't matter.
Like faith. What is it? Hope, faith, and then love. So it's hope, faith, and then you see God's love.
The greatest is
him.
Mm-hmm. And it's if you can see it, it's actually the journey of faith. It's the cycle we're in. We're constantly either it starts off like this. We read the scriptures and we see the testimony, and in hope of the testimony we wait for the appearing of the Lord. The Lord appears, the Lord is revealed, and now we walk in faith and we read the scriptures in the faith of the one we have seen, and the scriptures which are his testimony are birthing now in our heart an expectation to behold him yet again, and then we walk in that hope to see him in this new way, the same Christ, but in a new way. And then it's just that's literally the cycle, the journey, the walk. It's all it is. The what?
It's almost like cells regenerating in your body. Like it's a constant cycle. Like
yeah, it's a constant cycle.
Cells are constantly dying.
Yeah.
And they're constantly regenerating.
The Lord Jesus told this to the Apostle Paul. He said it, I have appeared unto you to make you a minister, constitute you a minister and a witness of this. Thy seeing of me, because the Lord appeared, he saw the Lord. And he doesn't leave it there. Thy seeing of me and of thy seeing me hereafter. Basically, this is what it's all about. It's about me and it's about you seeing me whom it is all about. And that's it. That is it. That is it. And anytime we add to the truth, we take away from the truth. Yes. See, it was Joyce. It was Joyce. Yeah.
Fortune cookie said that.
Yeah. I quoted a fortune cookie, people. But it's true. I mean, it's true.
I need for the truth. If you know what you're doing. That's a good shirt, too.
What'd you do with that fortune cookie, dude? What'd you do with that little fortune? You throw it away? I hope you didn't throw it away.
I probably did. Yeah. Hey, but you got it up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would have been cool to have it.
Yeah.
Frame it. Right, good reminder.
Even the Chinese.
What was the dumb one? That was just information.
Oh. I think I got that one. That was just weird.
Circuit is made of analog.
Analog parts. Something like that. Like, that's not a fortune. That's like retarded. You know?
Is this the one? Oh.